podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another Scoutcast brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. You are joined by me, Andy, FPL Mode. And as always, we are joined by my humble guests, my gorgeous guests. We are joined by Joe, FF Scout Joe. How's it going?
It's going well. I'm humbled to be here, as I always am, with two luminaries of the game, two greats of the game, who would never, ever make any blunders like making early transfers. And I know you wouldn't do that, and you're not those types of managers. So this is great to be here. Truly humbled.
Well, you've ruined the surprise there, haven't you? I was going to mention those a little bit later, but there you go. You've got a little bit of a sneak peek there. I mean, as we already know, Joe is a bit of a tease. Seb, you are also joined by you tonight as well. How is it going? How was your week?
I thought Joe was going to be lovely about us then, but he took that away from us the last moment, didn't he? So, yeah, I was doing fine, but, you know, that's brought me right back down. So you've got to pick me up, Andy.
Yeah, I know. Literally, I've never been so positive before a stream. I've just gone right back down now, and it's because of Joe. Terrible.
Yeah, that's it. I brought it down.
Yeah, I was like, Joe, we made transfers. We were so excited. Like, oh.
I know. Terrible. Joe, obviously, I know, you know, you wanted to bring us down a bit, but have you been brought up this week? I can see you've got a lovely green arrow, and I seem to be the only red arrow on the screen.
Yeah, but, I mean, I've got a rank of 1.3 million after that green arrow, though. So it does sort of nullify that a little bit. But I think I noticed, I was looking on FPL Live, I think it was, Live FPL, that there was a 31-point gap between me and the top 10K. Or something like that. And it was quite, so, I mean, we're all quite congested and we could have some quite big moves coming up soon. So yeah, I could be top 100K. I could be top 101K. That's the dream. I could be top 5 million next week. Yeah. It's that tight. So quite happy.
Well, it's good fun as well, because as Joe's already alluded to, we all had two free transfers going into game week three. One of us has used two, one of us has used one, and one of us hasn't used any yet. So we'll be looking forward to that later on. Joe, as well as finding out how we're going to use our free transfers, what else is coming up in the show tonight?
Indeed. So we're going to have a look at our game week two scores and our thoughts about those. Andy, you're going to be talking about under 10% ownership FPL points machines. Are they stars? Or are they traps? Are there any silver linings there to look for? I'll be talking about attacking defenders. I have managed to shoehorn this little club in the Northwest called Liverpool into the running order. It was in danger of slipping off, because I know we all wanted to talk about Brentford defenders, but I think we can go with that. I'm going to just give them a little mention. Seb will be going deep diving, getting your swimming trunks on and diving into Arsenal and all of their wonderful stats and formations and what has changed, if anything, and why are they so potent at the moment, particularly in game week two. There's the community team, our team reveals, as Andy said, teacher Andy's Q&A. And just before we go on, I got just a few words I want to say about our pronunciation last week. So we created a bit of a storm because we use the correct Norwegian pronunciation of Haaland.
Speak for yourself, mate.
Norwegian listeners and viewers thanked us and said, well done. Everyone else said, what the hell are you doing? He's called Haaland. And they gave us evidence of that. So he turns out that Haaland doesn't feel that us Brits can say Haaland. So he's happy for us to use the English version of this and be called Haaland. So I had a little look in history to see if any other Norwegians had done the same when they came to these shores. So it turned out they didn't. And so when Ragnar Lothbrok, history fans will know him well, when he beat the monks at Lindisfarne, it was 1-0 in the 8th century. Did he say, call me Raymond Lothbrok? No, he went on a massive pillaging spree across Mercia and Wessex. And Ivar the Boneless, a few years later, you know of him. loads of raids across Britain. Did he say, call me Ian? Ian the Boneless? No, he didn't. He just slaughtered thousands across Ireland. And you know what? He also blood-eagled the King of Northumbria.
Someone's been watching Vikings.
And someone has, I've done my research. I've watched Vikings. And also, I'll tell you what I've also done. I've been listening to some great 80s pop. So when Morton Harkett and A-ha were taking the British charts by storm, did he say to Brother Beyond and Swing Out Sister, don't worry about not getting to number one. Just call me Martin, Martin Harkett. No, he didn't. He just eased out. Sun Always Shines on TV. And he wrote a James Bond theme tune as well. So Harlan's let us down. He's let Norway down. And as we should discover, he also lets Kane Sellers down in game week two. So seems a good segue to talk about our game week two scores.
It does, just a little bit, doesn't it? I'm not going to lie. I think I blacked out there for a minute or two.
Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. I did as well.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what just happened.
What happened?
But there we go. I've no idea. Right, let's go on to our teams. So points this week, my points this week, 66 points for me this week. Ward with one, Trent and Robertson with 5 points between them. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Cancelo with 11, James with 7, Salah, who was my vice captain with 2, Martinelli 8, Bailey 1, Kulusevski 2, Haaland with 10 as my captain, and then Jesus absolutely rocking it out with 19 there. Bailey obviously was very, very frustrating, the fact he only came on in the 75th minute. Yeah, I mean, he's a hard sell for a lot of people now, I think, but I think we're going to maybe talk about him a little bit later too. I was fairly happy with 66. It was above the overall average. It meant a bit of a red arrow, but I'm happy with my 2 weeks, 79 and 66. And I'm happy with how my team's looking going forward. So there's not too much to say here, to be perfectly honest. My biggest thing is obviously Bailey, but I've already dealt with that, as you'll see a little bit later. Robertson's my other one. I'm getting so frustrated with Robertson and Trent. You know, that's 14 and a half million I'm spending on these defenders, and they're not doing anything compared to Cancelo and James that are returning for me quite nicely. So, yeah, I'm getting a little bit frustrated there. But we are going to talk about Liverpool assets in Joe's section a bit later, so I won't go into it in too much detail yet. Seb, we've got your points up next. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you've got 82 points this week. Up to 85K as well. Just talk us through your team.
I mean, it's not even that different, really, is it? It's very similar to yours. I think we were saying beforehand, that's the thing there, right? I'm surprised there's a bit of a points gap, because it's basically, what, an extra City defender? Sanchez got some points when, I guess, Ward and friends didn't. I've got Luis Diaz instead of Robertson. But you know, like you said, we'll talk about that later. And I think Robertson looked more likely for most of that match than Diaz. So same as ever, right? You know, we've all picked a pretty similar team. So there's just a bit of luck in it. And I've got the luck, I think. I mean, the best thing I probably did was benching Bailey, to be honest.
Ah, yeah. And I was telling you to play Bailey over Walker, wasn't I? this is why you're getting more points than me.
I'm glad I didn't listen to that.
No, I know. And then moving on to Joe's points. So Joe had 65 this week.
Yes.
So you've been bottom weeks.
Both times.
Since we started Scoutcast this year. Just and checking. Talk us through your team.
No, that's fine. I don't know if you noticed, you just said the word bottom. But, you know, we'll just sketch over that. Yeah, it's one of the great mysteries that I got a point less than you. When last week I said to you, you've got about five players all playing each other, so your points are going to be limited. And hey, presto, you could have done ever so well, but I've got one point less. So I don't know what's going on there. So that totally disproves my point. Who did I? I've forgotten. I had a very similar team to everyone else's, but there's still those slight differences that are, you know, the difference between 80 points, 70 points. I had Sanchez in goal. So the Sanchez Ward double up's going well, in that I might never play Ward again. Got a 4-4-2, Cancelo, nice 11 points, Gabriel, only 1 point there, Alexander Arnold and Robertson, just 5 points. Mason Mount, now I'll come to him a bit later. He is one I think will be for the chop, to correct a definite early season blunder for my part. Salah, just 2 points. Didn't captain him though. Martinelli, 8 points. That's standard. Bailey, 1 point. That probably will be standard. Haaland, my captain, just the 10 points. And nestled in next to Jesus with 19 points. So yeah. I'm pretty happy with that. I've got about 10 points each week above the average, 160, 160, 120, 125 overall, 127. I can't remember what I've got, but it's about 65 points average a week or so. So I'm happy with that. Keep it going. And I've just got one or two issues I want to iron out my squad, but two free transfers and still haven't used them.
Really interesting though, you said about Mount and you said it was a mistake. Do you feel like that was a blunder going for Mount over James?
At the beginning, I think it was the scout cast going into game week one. I said, it's between Mount and James for me. I want one of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know which one. And I went for Mount over James. I've had bad times with James in that I've got a couple of hauls off him, or one haul, but most of the time I'm getting 1 or 2 points. Whereas with Mason Mount, every time he's been in my team, he's been this nice, steady trickle of assist here, a goal here, occasional haul here. But I think in retrospect, even if Mount does well this weekend, James is the one. He's a shield I need. When he scored his goal, I'm using live FPL a bit differently. I'm not really looking at effective ownership before, but it's just during it. I'm using it probably how it should be into explaining why certain things are happening. So I went from 900k to 1300k when James scored.
Yeah.
So that was a 400, in my case, it was a 400k rank drop because he's so well owned. I don't own him and he is good. So that's why I think it's an error.
Yeah, fair enough. No, I like it. We're going to go on to our first section now then. And our first section is my section, started with me this week. And it's all about players that are under 10% owned and whether they're going to be stars moving forward or whether we feel like they are traps. Because I feel like these players are starting to come into the fore now and we're starting to recognise that these players, nobody was really looking at them at the beginning of the season and now they're starting to really come into their own after 2 weeks. Again, it's only after 2 weeks. So this is where if you own one of these now, you could really get ahead of the curve and ahead of everybody else. And it's also quite an interesting list, which is what we like. We don't like seeing lists just full of all the players everybody owns already. We want to see different lists. So top of the list, and this is ordered, by the way, in XGI expected goal involvement. Top of the list is Grosch from Brighton. Yeah. Obviously scored his 2 goals against Manchester United. He's got West Ham, he's got Leeds and Fulham in his next 3. Then we got Rodrigo, which is a really interesting one. He's been absolutely smashing it recently. 22 points. He's the highest point scorer on this list so far. 1.70 expected goal involvement. Then Gundogan, who is highlighted on this table because I really do want to have a chat about him because he's somebody I'm looking at in particular. 7.5 million, 0.85 goal involvement. He's got Newcastle, Crystal Palace and Notts Forest next, which is lovely. Then Jensen, Xhaka, Tony, who's also an interesting one. People are starting to look at Tony again. Ben Mee, Byrne, Cher and De Silva, who's at the bottom there.
I just want to point out, I have made an error on this table, so please forgive me, everyone. Rodrigo, of course, is not playing himself in 3 weeks' time. Leeds. That should say Everton.
No, that's fine.
Similar letters.
So there's 3 players here that are highlighted, and it's Grosch, Gundogan and De Silva. So, I mean, there's no better person to ask than Joe about Grosch because obviously he scored 2 against Manchester United. In the second game, he looked okay as well. He's somebody that a lot of people owned him a couple of years ago, didn't they? And he had an incredible season. I think it was his first year at Brighton.
It was absolutely
brilliant. Is he somebody that we can think about getting in? Because I won't lie. I mean, he's 5.6 million. So the price is quite nice. The fixtures aren't too bad either. And Brighton are obviously a well-oiled machine. We know that. But is he somebody we can really think about or not?
Well, the season before he came to Brighton, he was the Bundesliga's top assister. And not many people had heard of him, but he was the most creative player there. So Brighton snapped him up and he had a great first season. As you said, then under Graham Potter, he sort of drifted in and out of the side and he hasn't had a good run. He's played all over the shop as well. He's played like almost, I can't think of a position he hasn't played at some point in a game. But he seems to have got a sort of a more of attacking right-sided role here. And I think he looks pretty cemented. It's no surprise he did well against Manchester United. It was more the last game where I was looking for some signs that he was doing well. And I think he will. I think he's going to be a good player. I think he's been a good player when he's been given the chances. He's on most set pieces. I don't think he's on penalties, though. But I'll be interested to see what happens. McAllister will be...
I vaguely recall hearing that like Gross said he was like designated, but that's when McAllister wasn't playing.
Yeah.
But in the past, Potter has said it's McAllister. Yeah. I think, Joe, you'll know better than me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. In the, I don't know. We will find out. It's one of McAllister or Gross will be the the main penalty taker. I just need to see them both on the pitch. And also we need to see if there's any sort of bizarre things of if you've won that penalty, you get to take it. So we'll see. But nevertheless, he's on the corners and free kicks. He's very creative and he's got a great shot on him as well. So I think he's great. I think he's really good value. And Brighton are, I think, I mean, we'll talk about Brentford as well, but Brighton are, and Brentford along with Chelsea have got the best fixtures over the next five game weeks, definitely, but definitely over the next, you know, whichever metro you want to use. So they've got West Ham next, Brighton, but then they've got Leeds, Fulham, Leicester, and then Bournemouth. These are all good from an attacking point of view. And also from a defensive point of view there, Brentford and Chelsea, just the only teams above them there, and Arsenal, and then Leeds themselves as well. So that would highlight someone like Rodrigo being a good asset to get. So I think Gross has got the form. He's got the pedigree. Mm. He's got the price. He's got the fixtures. I'm getting him in. So that's a spoiler alert. I'm going to get him in for, I don't know who yet. It could be Mason Mount, and in order to get Reece James.
See, Seb, Joe just kind of touched on it a little bit there, where we're talking about players like Grosch and Tony. Are we in danger a little bit here of these two teams have both played Manchester United and absolutely spanked them, and that's why their stats and everything is looking over for inflated and they're looking like better assets? Because I'm looking at Grosch, he scored two goals against United. So obviously everything's looking a little bit better, but I think that's still in my head. Like, I think if that hadn't have happened, I don't think anybody would be looking at him.
That's such a leading question. I know what you're talking about. I mean, I think it falls into the same category if it's been 2 weeks. Some people will have played worse defences. Some people will have played better. Some people may have had their best performance of a season. Others their worst. We can look at this and take the information that's presented to us, but we just need to have in our minds that it's been 2 weeks and we should take it with a large grain of salty Man United fans.
Grain of salt.
No, I was just going to say what I find interesting about Gross's stats here. He's frequently, when he gets a run in the team, he is frequently in the top, because when you're compiling these stats each week, Gross is often there if he gets a run. And he always does well in those expected goal involvement stats because he's just so involved and, you know, he's got the assist potential and the scoring potential. I think he's a great asset. And I think at the moment, we need to both keep an eye on the template, not ignore it. But at the same time, we do need to look for those differentials, those so-called swords in our team, to really push on and move up the rankings. Because if I only go for really good shields, like, say, Reece James, I'm just going to sort of stay where I am, which is 1.3 million. I don't want to stay where I am. I want a 5% owned goal or two or three.
But he's not playing United every week. That's all I'm going to say.
He's not going to play a team as awful as United. Granted, gosh. But luckily he does have a good run of games coming up, and I'm sure Seb will testify. Brighton do well against Leeds.
Oh, yeah, 1-0 Brighton will happen.
It's 1-0. First goal.
So before we went live tonight, Andy instructed me to disagree with Joe. So I will take that and disagree with Joe. We do not need the passion of that. We do not need to look for differentials 2 weeks in. You're 1.3 million. It's probably about 5 points behind me or something. But if you did want to climb the rankings, just pick the best players. Like, you're talking about moving Mount to James.
That's why Pascal Gross. I am picking literally. Sure, but don't.
Brilliant. Don't do it because of ownership, though. Like, you know, you're talking about going James. If you'd started with him, you'd be better off. Differentials are great, but let them come to you. Please let them come to you, especially in this season where we can build an entire 11, if not more, of top six players. We don't need to be hunting, you know, Leeds attackers or Fulham attackers just yet. When Champions League comes, that's the time. Game week 5, I think, is midweek. That's when we can start looking, you know, Haaland will get a rest. Maybe Nunes, when he's back, will also get a rest. That's when we can start looking at, you know, say a Mitrovic or someone like that. For now, I think you just relax and pick the obvious players.
That's easy to say if you don't have Mason Mount. And you don't have Reece James.
I nearly had Mount, in fair. He probably would have been my second choice after Diaz.
This is also a table of under 10% owned players as well.
Yeah.
But speaking of one of those under 10% owned players, Seb, Gundogan. Now, I know we spoke a couple of weeks ago saying, with Haaland playing up top there, who's going to benefit more? Is it going to be the wide men, Foden, Grealish, Mahrez, or is it going to be those central midfielders, which would be KDB and Gundogan? Now, Silva's constantly being linked with moves away. Gundogan has started the season well. He's captain now as well. He's been made club captain, which you would think would help his minutes moving forward, at least for this season. And he's started quite well, 13 points so far, 0.85 expected goal involvement. He's starting to make those late runs, and KDB's doing the same as well. Are we starting to see that he is benefiting from Haaland being there, and is he going to start creeping into teams at 7.5 million? Because people are wanting to sell someone like Robertson. He could be the perfect transition into midfield.
I mean, like we spoke about last week, I think it's that little change in shape. And we'll have to see if City keep that up, of course. De Bruyne in the last match was more advanced than Haaland, which is crazy, but he's so expensive that it's harder to go there. Bernardo, I think City have, you know, slapped a big old price tag, 100 mil euros or whatever it is, and maybe said he's not going anywhere. So we'll see. He hasn't started, presumably because of, you know, those transfer rumours and what have you. But we know Pep will stick with a team that works, especially when there aren't midweek fixtures. If Bernardo leaves, Gundogan's lovely. I think you're entirely right. He's making those runs. He's getting in those positions. Mm. We saw him score at the weekend. That sort of, like, you know, starting in the eight, but really going through those half spaces, through those gaps between the centre-backs, which is what they're set up to do. If Bernardo stays, it could be an issue, especially when the Champions League rolls around. But one to stick on the watch list, I think.
I think he is. I feel like we're constantly looking for that third Man City asset, aren't we? Because we've got Haaland, we've got Cancelo. You've got Walker. But I'm much
more bullish on Walker than I was when I started, because they've only signed Sergio Gomez today, who's obviously a young sort of backup left back for the future. Sure, he'll miss a game here and there, but I actually think, like, there's Diaz, Laporte, and Stones, who, when Laporte is back, could all rotate. There's Cancelo, we know he just keeps his spot. Yeah. I think after Cancelo, Aniake's playing well, Walker could be the most certain in that team. You know, maybe he misses one out of five, but without another first choice fullback, I feel pretty chill on having a 5 million nailed in inverted commas City defender.
I mean, KDB's the other one everybody wants, isn't it? But obviously you can't get there. But I feel like Gundogan could become kind of KDB light in terms of making those runs. And even if he does 50% of what he did, was it 2 years ago now, when he became that incredible asset for about 3 months, I feel like he could be that one, you know, 7.5 million. It's just a shame he's not 0.5 million less, because you're really tussling between Gundogan and Foden, I think, at 7.5 and 8.
Yeah, you'd want to have that million to maybe turn a Nico into a Walker or whatever it is. I think, I mean, the interesting one will be when Champions League, when midweek fixtures come around, does Haaland actually, it sounds silly, but is he actually an option? Because we've seen in the past with City players, they're brilliant, but if they only start 50% of the matches, we can't trust them. Is that when you go to a De Bruyne if he plays more often, or even a Gundogan and a couple of defenders? Do we move elsewhere? I have no idea what I'll do right now, but I could see myself losing Haaland. You know, if we think he's only going to get, you know, an average of 60 minutes a week, whether that's a starter off the bench or early sub. Interesting to look at. And I think we know that City said that Haaland would be managed. It was one of the reasons he joined them. And I think, was it Ben Crellin posted the other day that from game week 5, when the first midweek happens, which is Premier League, players from the top clubs only have one midweek weekend off, as it were, which is after the game week 8 break, I think it is. Until then, they all play twice a week, which is Champions League most midweeks, until the November break in game week 16. So someone like Haaland, who we know has fitness issues, we know City will manage their players, really could become a bit of an issue during that period.
Yeah, interesting. And Joe, moving on to the last highlighted player on this list, and I'm going to come to you because two of us in this stream have already brought this player in, so it could be nice to hear your view on it. De Silva was 4.5 million. He's now 4.6 million. Scored in game week 1, scored in game week 2. XG is ridiculously low, 0.11. I think the shot
Football's
he had against United...
Grass,
yeah. the shot he had against United was 0.02, I think. You know, God knows how De Gea let that in. But he was 4.5 million, and if you got him in on Saturday night... he was 4.5 million, you know, and he's already gone up 0.1.
Yeah.
But he's a cheap enabler. I feel like if he's going to be on your bench, it's fine. But what do you kind of make of De Silva and people bringing him in?
You both brought him in before the games had finished of the game week. So anything could have happened then. And I looked at that, and I mean, I've got Bailey, and Bailey's going to be on my bench. So yes, I could free up more money, but I've already got 0.5 in the bank. So I've got no desperate need for money. And I just didn't see the point in swapping a Bailey for a De Silva. Because De Silva, yeah, his expected goal involvement is the lowest on this list of under 10% ownership players. And it was really watching the highlights of Match of the Day when I saw his goal and thought, there are goals when there's defensive blunders and I didn't see much of De Silva that I thought, oh, he's like, you know, when Sterling was 4.5 or Januzaj at Manchester United was tearing it up for about 4 weeks. I didn't quite see that. You never know. He could be like Decore. Remember when Decore was at Watford and he was just inexplicably scoring every week. And it went on for months. No, it went on for a couple of months. It was maybe 4 weeks. But De Silva, yes, he could score again next week, but he's not going to do it with a high expected goal involvement. He might do well, but I suspect most people who've got him aren't going to play him. And he'll be first or second sub. So I just didn't see the point when I've got players that I do need to bring in, like Reece James, and I didn't want to use a transfer moving a bad midfielder to another bad midfielder.
So allow me to defend my transfer. Firstly, saying, yeah, if you've got other things to do, fair enough.
Yeah.
I had two free transfers and nothing I really wanted to change my team. I was very happy to the point where I considered just burning one. Bailey is my 12th player, and very much so as well. I think, you know, my team, until Champions League starts up, are probably relatively safe in their minutes. So I was going to bench him every week. I think he'll probably drop in value sometime this week. And I think De Silva would have gone up, and he already has done. Maybe he'll go up again, especially if he gets another jammy goal. Maybe he will. I was very happy, therefore, to use one of my free transfers and then roll the other one. So I have two again next week to simply grab some of that value. I have a million in the bank now, and I obviously have 0.6 banked on De Silva, one more, and I get to turn that into some actual funds. And the reason I did it early, of course, is because that's when the rise was predicted to happen. And we don't have midweek matches or anything this week. So the chance of, yeah, of course, Salah could have got injured, but I was happy to take that risk because probabilistically, I reckoned it was better for me to bank that 0.1 than it was to...
So George W. Bush is in
the scout cast. Probabilistically.
You dropped the probabilistically bomb.
Wow.
I did. I think it was a better gamble, as it were, then to go for the certainty of a price rise than wait for an injury that may or may not happen.
I mean, I know Andy wants to set up a row, but I'm going to, even though I'm not keen on early transfers, I do agree with what Seb has said there. If you have nothing else to do and you have two free transfers, the best way, rather than burning that transfer, is look for a way just to get a bit of extra money. Just get that bit of extra money for a rainy day. And I've done that many times with a goalkeeper. It's like, what do I do? Oh, I've got a 4.6 goalkeeper on my bench. I'll get him down to a 4.01. That's a good way of doing that. You're never going to play them, but it's a good way of getting some money. And I think if you've got two transfers, that's fine, because we get team news coming in. Seb's still got that one more transfer. So you get team news in, Alexander-Arnold breaks his leg in training. Well, you've got your one transfer to move that out. But if you've only got the one transfer, so for example, the week before, if you moved Kane to Haaland, you're down to one transfer. And so you haven't got the luxury of doing what Seb did, doing that. And I know, Andy, you're an anomaly in this argument because you've already used two transfers.
I have indeed.
So I don't know what you're going to do if there's a broken leg in your team on
Honestly,
Friday.
Honestly, balls of steel, mate. That's why. I've got balls of steel. Nobody... No, we'll talk about it a bit later, but I did the move. I did it because I had everything else in my team looked okay. Yes, it was risky, but I just fancied that team
value. You've got Ward and Iverson. How is that okay?
They're playing keepers. They cost 8 million.
How do you look at that and say, Ward, he's a good keeper, but I've got Iverson to back him up. How can you look at that?
I've got a keeper every week. Anyway, let's move on.
You've used two free transfers and you haven't corrected Ward Iverson. Amazing.
I do just want to drop in there as well that I think we can sort of just pop up ballistically in the chat. I do think we can fall into that trap of, is it probably loss aversion or something, or holding on to that one time we made an early transfer and it went wrong. Generally, early transfers, yes, especially when there's no midweek matches, are absolutely fine. Sure, it might go wrong once or twice, but I will take the certainty of that price rise almost every time.
I'm just looking at the text that comes up when we're talking on the screen, and I said, Ward, he's probably cuckoo, kids. Apparently, I said that.
Yeah, nice. Sounds about right. Right, let's move on to Joe's section then, and he's going to be talking through the best attacking defenders now. So,
oh, yes.
I've already suggested, you know, these midfielders, people are starting to either move money from midfield into defence because they're quite happy with these defenders that are getting solid points all the time. You know, we've seen Seb's got the double up of Man City. I've got Trent and Robertson, which is going to be an interesting one to talk about as well. But Joe's just going to talk us through some of these attacking defenders and the ones that are popping up a lot on the XGI list as well.
Yes. So I've looked at expected goal involvement per 90, because apparently that's a thing, but it does make things a little easier. And I've been told that if you get 0.5 or above, then that's very good. So here it is. So we've got Alexander Arnold at the top, expected goal involvement per 90 of 0.59. So that's essentially half a goal a game. So a goal every two games, is that right? Which is really good for a defender. And we can see he's in five corners, two shots inside the box. Hasn't scored yet, but he's always looked close. I mean, he was in all our teams. I don't think it's even worth even discussing him, because he's done nothing to disprove anything that we already knew about him for the last few seasons. In fact, he's arguably better. He's getting better each year. So, but it's the next name on the list. It's Reece James, who's expected goal amongst just behind him. And it's become evident, although he was not on corners for the last game, but he took a hell of a lot the game before. And we've seen when he's at right wing back, the crosses he puts in are incredible. I think Havertz missed one, and he was, and he's obviously, he's got his goal threat as well. He pops into the box. I mean, he's the player I fear most. He's the player that affected my rank most. He's the biggest headache to me. It's not for that sole reason, because of his huge ownership and the way it affects my rank, although that is a massive consideration and that can never be underestimated. But it is the fact that I'm not sure there's anyone comparable to him currently, apart from Alexander Arnold at the moment, in terms of a defender with that amount of threat. And I've already got Alexander Arnold. So, I just want to get the best, the second best, the third best, whatever you want to call him. But I want to get that defender. But there's some other names on this list as well. I mean, I don't know if you wanted to, you or Seb wanted to talk about Nico Williams. So I went for another blunder. I went for Patterson as my 4.0. But yeah, what do you think of Williams? Because everyone's been raving about him.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people that were kind of annoyed that they had him on their bench this week. But I don't think many people were going to play him, to be perfectly honest, against West Ham. And you saw the game. I mean, West Ham had like over two for their XG, I think it was. You know, they had the chances. They missed a penalty. Neko did look good going forward, though. I would admit, he did look quite good, and he was on some set pieces as well. But I think he's just a perfect 4 million defender that you're going to have on your bench, you know, pretty much all year. So I don't see an issue with him. But are you going to start sneaking him into your team and playing him? I don't see an awful lot of clean sheets for Forest this season, so I think that's going to be a tough one. But I don't know, Seb, what do you think about Williams?
I value proposition. I really, really like him. I don't have him. And it's one of those ones that almost sounds silly for a 4.0. I'm tempted to try and get him just because the value seems outrageous. But with the prices this year, again, like saying earlier, there's just no need to, you know, force in a Nottingham Forest defender when I can have all these top six defenders. If I need money elsewhere in my team at some point, brilliant. He's there for me, even if he's 4.2 when that happens. If you have him, great. I think there's no need to chase after him unless you've got plans elsewhere.
Yeah. Just very quickly as well, Joe, about James, because I watched a bit of analysis on the game the other day, because people were so worried about him playing right centre back. And I loved watching this analysis, because it was talking about how Reece James plays and how when they're attacking, They go back to a four at the back. So actually, he is right back when they go into an attacking style.
Yeah, that's what I noticed.
And then he bombs forward in that right back position. He overloads the right side with Loftus-Cheek.
If you don't own him, it's frightening.
Yeah. And as soon as he went the right wing back again, he was just devastating. And he's in the box getting a pass from Sterling to tap it into the gut. And you just think he is. When you don't own him, and he started with 2 sevens, he hasn't got a clean sheet.
I think a lot of people listening and watching, they will either have two transfers or they've had 2 games worth of data, which isn't a lot, but nevertheless, they're starting to look at their teams and they're starting to look at the players that they, so for example, if you don't own Jesus after his 19 point haul and all his preseason and all that we knew about him before, then you probably want to correct that. If you don't own Alexander Arnold for some reason, you're probably going to want to correct that. Mm. And if in my case, you don't own Reece James, you're probably going to want to correct that. There are a few players like that that I do think are a necessity, not just because of the ownership, just because they're really good. They're just going to be really good scorers, goals and assists. But there are lots of other players on this list that are of interest, I think. Zinchenko, Arsenal, has already got a price rise. Got his clean sheet, couple of shots inside the box. Always look good. He's just looked good as well. And I'm sure Seb will be talking a bit more detail about Zinchenko a bit later. But we've got some other names as well. Now, Ben Mee at 4.5 at Brentford. Now, we know he's got a goal in him. And so he's only had 1 shot inside the box so far, but it's just been 2 games. These are small samples, but Brentford have clean sheet potential and they also have... Ben Mee has the odd goal in him. So I think he is a good, if you're looking to downgrade a defender, I think he's a good player on this list as well. I'm not sure about Southampton at the moment, but Walker Peters, if you were so inclined, would be a good option at 4.5. But yeah, it's interesting to see Sessegnon there at 4.5 with Tottenham. And I think we're permanently going to have Tottenham players, Tottenham fullbacks, Tottenham wingbacks, are always going to be on this table. And Perisic is an interesting issue that managers will face next week if he starts.
I could almost see myself not having a Spurs defender at any point this season, just because, like, I agree.
You don't know who it's going to be.
Some of them are brilliant options, but only the ones that start. And I don't know who that is. And I don't know if I need to, with good options elsewhere, I don't know if I need to buy a ticket to that lottery. Maybe I do at some point. You know, if Perisic starts looking nailed, of course I'm there. But another player, speaking of lotteries, that I'm interested in, who isn't on this table, is Cucurella. So we saw him start at left wing back in the last match and looked pretty impressive, while Chilwell played for the under-21s, I think, despite starting last week. So still working on his fitness. It looks like Chelsea have signed Fofana as well. So I think there's a chance when Cucurella does play, it's more likely to be left wing back. But he can slot into left centre-back, which is probably why he's been signed. While Koulibaly spent most of his time, if not all of his time, at Napoli playing left centre-back, I think Tuchel did say there's plans for him right centre-back or even centre centre-back, because Thiago Silva, we mentioned with Europe, probably can't play week in, week out for another entire season. So I think James is a must-have, but I'm interested in Cucurella and I'm happy to work a couple of more weeks. I've got Gabriel, who's also 5.0. I think he has, is it Fulham, Bournemouth? Bournemouth, Fulham, something like that. So very happy to hold on to him for 2. And then I might make that move from Gabriel to Cucurella, double up on my Chelsea defence, if his prospects still look good. But yeah, he might miss 1 or 2 here and there. But I think when he does play, I think he'll play a lot. He's a good option.
Yeah, I think the comments from the Chelsea camp as well about Cucurella was that he is currently looks like he'll be the one starting. They're not happy with, they were talking about rhythm. And they're not happy with Chilwell's rhythm with the game at the moment. And they feel that Cucurella is the man at the moment. So I think he could be one to get in now if you do want to free up some funds. I know people are thinking about Robertson perhaps. So, I mean, what I found interesting about this list is that the players that aren't on it as well. So Cucurella is, you know, he's only just joined Chelsea. But what's interesting I found with him is he's already taken 5 corners. So he's had 1 game for Chelsea and he's had 5 corners. So already we see he's involved. I know as a Brighton fan, what a good player he is anyway. He should do well for bonus points as well. I think Aaron Cresswell, when West Ham's fixtures improved, he's already taken 3 corners. He's a player to watch. Aaron Cresswell, no one ever gets him in and he always does well. And every season, I think I should get Aaron Cresswell in. And the so-called casuals, the so-called, they just get him in, and because they don't care. And I'm going to do that.
He reminds me of Ward-Prowse in that way, you know, where I'm just like, yeah, he's good. He gets points and I always ignore him. And then he's always exactly. like sixth at the end of the season or something.
Why did I miss out on that? You know, the sixth best midfielder. And Aaron Cross was exactly that. Not fashionable, but he's going to get your points. So when West Ham's fixtures improve. I was going to say Trippier.
Cancelo as well.
Cancelo's down on the list of my notable players to miss out. So we've got Trippier as well. Obviously, their fixtures are a bit rough at the moment, but when they improve, you know, 10 corners. So he's going to be very involved. Cancelo as well. Nothing. No shots in the box. Don't take any corners. Doesn't do that anyway. But he's expected goal involvement of 0.18, which is better than De Silva. But nevertheless, not great.
got an assist at the weekend.
But he did get an assist at the weekend. And eye test wise, he looks great.
he was a little bit... Oh, we don't have a graph for this. So I'll just cover it real quick. Obviously, we spoke about City last week. He was a little bit wider, it seemed, this week with Foden out there. Yeah. I've not looked into it deeply enough to know, but maybe he was forced a little wider. Or it's just Bournemouth, right? So they can get forward. But what we were saying is we wonder if he's forming more of that three in midfield, which could see him a little more withdrawn.
Yeah, and also he got the bonus as well. So he's a bonus point magnet. So he's I'm not worried. I think if you think Cancelo needs to be downgraded to another Man City mid, then your team is looking good, because surely there must be another move to make than that. But Cancelo, I think I wouldn't worry that he's not on this list at all. And it's Robertson who is worrying people. He's only taken a couple of corners. He's had one shot inside the box. Expected goal involvement of 0.2. But anyone who watched the match last night would have noticed this fabulous Scottish striker playing for Liverpool. And Robertson was really, really attacking. You know, he was out wide, coming in, pass, doing amazing passes, and he had a shot that looked pretty good, I thought. And I think it was Milner's one is still in orbit, I think, was it?
Early on.
But Robertson, I think he's looking good. I think I wouldn't raise an eyebrow if someone moved him on to some, if you don't have a Reece James. The Liverpool defensive double up hasn't done well for the last 2 weeks, but looking at the fixtures, Manchester United, which is now an easy fixture for Liverpool, always has been really, Bournemouth at home, Newcastle at home, Everton away, and then Wolves at home. I mean, these are really good fixtures from a defensive point of view. I can see clean sheets there. I can see attacking returns there. So for me, I'm keen to keep hold of him. I can't see a reason why I would get rid of him yet. I would like to see more.
I mean, given Liverpool have conceded a penalty as well, I think the XG numbers are fine, might be like top half. Yeah. It's been a couple of matches. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it. Like, it's unfortunate. If you've got Robertson, Trent and Salah, it's unfortunate that, say, Diaz did well, Nuno's got sent off. But that's all a bit of a lottery. If you've got nothing else to do and you really fancy it, fine. But Robertson is going to be like the third highest scoring defender by the end of the season, give or take, isn't he?
No, and I've got, I don't know if you, I've got another table here just before I sort of sign off on this bit about Liverpool. Have you got a table about Liverpool's best place?
I do indeed.
Great, because this just highlights where Robertson is. So Robertson owners want to see him near the top, don't we? And is that table up on the screen now?
It is, yes.
Right, so he's not. In fact, he's below Henderson. At the top, Nunez, who's banned for 3 games. So he's just a slight moot point here. But nevertheless, his expected goal involvement is higher than any other Liverpool player. And then you've got Salah, his expected goal involvement of 1.21, just behind Nunez. So still an option, and very much an option for the captaincy without Nunez. So if Firmino's playing, we're back to old school Salah coming in, not being out wide. Or we could be Salah up front if Firmino's not fit. I mean, who knows? But I think Salah looks a good option for the captaincy, and is probably in a way aided by Nunez not being around. Could be, but that's something we can discuss when we get a bit more data about that. Alexander Arnold is next. So that highlights just how potent he is. If you are one of the managers without him, I would just rectify that. Just get him in. I mean, you can play any way of the game, but just get him in.
I mean, legit, he should be 100% owned, really, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
At that price.
Yeah, I don't understand why. I don't understand logic to avoid him. I don't understand that. Because he's clearly, I mean, he could arguably be the best player, best FPL player we've ever known. That could be the way. I mean, he won't be, you know, he won't get, say, for the captaincy like Salah has or Luis Suarez was or Aguero has been. But, you know, that sheer consistency for 7 million, 7.5 years now, you know, getting that level of points from that price is incredible.
You know what would have been interesting? If, say, Salah played for Chelsea, but still played to the level he is at Liverpool, would we, like, consider Trent as a captain option more than we do? Because the one shame there is that whenever Trent has a good fixture, of course, so does Salah, and therefore we go to Salah. Interesting alternate word. World.
Yeah. And so going down the list, Diaz as well. So I know in Seb's team, there is expected goal more is below those three that I've already mentioned, but never. I mean, that goal he took again last night. Well, I still can't work out whether that was Crystal Palace defense being awful or it was him being amazing or just maybe a bit of both.
That's classic FPL, wasn't it? In the first week, he missed a really good chance. He hit the post or put it wide. Yeah. He had one ruled out for offside, and then this week he just scores a worldie. And
does a Ginola just lovely, carves his way through the whole team.
He's averaging out his numbers already. Perfect stats.
Just to offer a counterpoint on Robertson, by the way, because obviously so far we've said, and I've got him, I'm holding, but they are going to be without Konate, they're going to be without Matip for the foreseeable future, at least the next 3 or 4 weeks. Nat Phillips was ripped to shreds last night by Zaha, and that's pretty much why they scored. They targeted him, didn't they, in a counter-attack.
Yeah.
And also he was hooked after 61, 62 minutes for Tsimikas. He does have an able deputy there. Tsimikas didn't look great, so I don't think Robertson's kind of going to be at risk, but there are factors there to say he might not be the asset we want him to be for the next couple of weeks because their defence might struggle to keep some clean sheets because they're not completely fit yet, are they?
I'll probably be wildcarding. I don't know when, sort of game week six to eight, something like that.
Yeah.
But so he's got Manchester United next, and then it's that Bournemouth and Newcastle at home. And I know Newcastle are a different beast, but I would be targeting those for clean sheets. And I think after that time, even if I'm not wildcarding, I think the Everton game away might be the time if I've got another player in mind. But I'm not sure I have. Once you've got Alexander-Arnold and Reece James, I think I can't think of a defender who would offer me more just for a week or two than Robertson. But I've already got him as well. Yeah. So I think Robertson's probably going to be, if I don't get rid of him this week, which I'm not going to, I think he's going to be there until I wildcard. And I don't know if he'll survive that.
I think if you desperately need the funds, it's a fair enough place to look. And it's easy for me to sit here, right? Because I started with Salah, Trent and Diaz, which possibly was the best out of all the different triples we could have had. And, you know, I made that call for a reason, but also I got lucky. So it's very easy and, you know, very privileged to sit here and be like, yay, I did well, so I don't feel that pressure.
Do you feel humbled?
what was the other option? Gorgeous. Robertson.
Do you feel gorgeous being here with
But yeah, I mean, like, I get it if you want to find funds, but I wouldn't go chasing it if you don't need to. Like you said, maybe around that 6, 7, 8 wild card. I think they've got a couple of tougher fixtures afterwards.
Yeah.
If we're splitting the season into that whole, like, you know, before first wild card, after first wild card, before the World Cup, maybe that's the slot to see if you can go without.
So for me, Robertson is a hold until we know more. Reece James is a buy. And so for my particular team, people will say, why would I be getting rid of Mason Mount with good fixtures coming up for Chelsea? And it's, if I had Reece James and I had Mason Mount, for some reason I had both of them, I would keep both. But I don't have Reece James, so it's just a way of me getting him.
Just before we move on to the next bit as well, we don't even need to comment after. I think Nunes being sent off has made people's lives a lot easier. I think a lot of people were looking to go with Haaland or Kane, and then Jesus, and then Nunes, and they were looking to get a lot of things changed. And people were looking to use their wild cards, people were taking hits, and people were looking to take Robertson out, Diaz out. And actually, I think last night, hurt a lot of people because we were looking for that chaos and we were looking for people to be changing things around and taking hits and wild cards. And I think actually Nuno's getting sent off for violent conduct as well, so out for three games, I think has made a lot of people's lives a lot easier.
Could you shared something on Twitter that I saw, and I think a few other people did, which is about Anderson winding him up throughout the game. And it totally succeeded. And then he got sent off for violent conduct. And if he's going to be wound up by Anderson doing that, I mean, most experienced players will know about those types of tactics and will move on and laugh it off. You see it all the time. You see players laughing it off. And the fact that he didn't, that he took it quite personally, even though Anderson was just doing his job, he's doing it remarkably well, it says to me, that's a big, big cross to me for getting him in.
I don't think he'll do it again now.
I forget who the player was. It might have been Paul.
There was emotion at the time.
It might have been Paul Scholes or something. But someone of that stature. I remember an interview where they were talking about young Jack Wilshere when he was fit and actually good, saying they knew he was good, not when they played against him and he was talented and whatever, but when they played against him and he gave as good as he got, like verbally, physically on the match, those things we don't see.
Yeah.
That's when they said, I know he's going to be a good player because he's got that side of it too.
Yeah.
And hey, look, we don't want that. We'd rather everyone was, perfectly well behaved, but that's the way it goes. And you need to deal with that on the pitch, don't you? Anyone will take any edge they can get.
We had Diego Costa in the league not that long ago, and he was exactly the same. But look at him. He went, oh, look, someone just put it in the chat as well. Diego Costa was exactly the same. And do you remember when he had four yellow cards or nine yellow cards for ages?
And we never transferred him.
I always saw of Costa as the player that would do the winding up, though. He also got wound up, though.
He got wound up, but he did
the winding up as well. And he was a cheeky so-and-so.
I think, personally, Klopp will just get a hold of him and say, look, you can't do this again. You've learnt your lesson. Yeah. You've got three games suspended, which is awful for players, isn't it, when they're suspended for three games. So I don't think it will be a massive thing moving forward. I think
if he'd scored as well, he wouldn't react. It's one of those where he's probably frustrated with his performance as much as anything,
Anyway, we've spoken about Liverpool for far too long. Let's go on to a team that is not divisive at all. Let's move on to Arsenal. So, Seb, you're going to talk to us about Arsenal. Now, I've got three screens here. I've got a screen looking at their positions in game week 38 of last year. I've got a screen looking at their positions for game week 2 of this year, so the game week just gone. And then I've got one about Saka as well. So we're going to... let's bring up the one from game week 38 first.
Sure. So we won't dwell on this one too long. It's just for a bit of a base level for the rest of the discussion. For people listening and not watching as well, we have a position map from the Scout Mems area that shows, you look at that, I don't know if you can discern necessarily a shape, but it's, Arsenal's 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 or whatever you like. The thing to really call out, I think, here is you have Saka high, wide, tucking in on the right. Eddie Nketiah is the number 14 there, I believe. He's the furthest forward player playing striker. Martinelli, number 11, on the left, probably providing a bit of width there. There's a bit of gap between him and Saka and Nketiah, sorry. And then there's Ødegaard, number 8 as well, pushing up into that sort of right-hand side channel for Arsenal. And the interesting thing to look at here, I guess, is how this then changes as we go into this season. And we have game week 2, I think, here to show. Lovely. So game week 1 was a relatively similar story, although a more traditional front three, if you like, looking at the average positions. Of course, the caveat there being it's an average position. You know, a player could be all over the place and his average position will show somewhere in the middle of all of that. So you maybe want to combine it with looking at touches or just watching the match as well. But in game week 2 for Arsenal against Leicester here, we saw almost a suggestion of that City 2-3-5. Now, it's not as pronounced for a number of reasons. It may not be deliberately what they're going for as much as City, but also we know that they're not as developed as a side as City. So maybe there's less carrying it out precisely. They're not a stronger team either. But what we're seeing is Jesus very much leading the line there forwards. We saw that when he played. He was brilliant. He interchanges with other players, but he is that number 9 up there. And we see Martinelli much closer to him than we did in that match from the end of last season. Again, providing maybe some width from the left, but really tucking in and the second furthest forward player. Saka, by contrast, is a fair bit further back on the right and still wide, of course, with Ben White just behind them. And they're probably performing much more of a sort of covering one another as one goes forward. Obviously, that's usually Saka, but Saka will come back for White as well as he tucks in. What we're seeing with Zinchenko, who's number 35 there as well, is he's tucking in into that midfield role, the inverted wing backs, which is where it suggests a bit more City, trying to form that 2-3-5 shape, with the three being Ben White, Partey and Zinchenko. We then have Ødegaard and Xhaka. Xhaka is a lot further forward on this one. And what they're trying to do, as we mentioned earlier, is the De Bruyne and Gundogan thing. Find those half spaces in between the centre-backs, find those channels and get forward in between them. We saw Xhaka, in fact, get into the box and do that quite successfully. Now, like I said, it's not as pronounced as City, but it is a similar approach. And so if you want to move on to the last one for me, please, Andy. I think the conclusion of this is, yeah, we all have Jesus and he's brilliant. A lot of us have Martinelli. And the reason for that is his price, I think, rather than say just because it's Martinelli. If they were both 8 million, I would have no worries about having Saka. And I believe what we have here, just double check, is it a comparison of the two, so last season, this season on
Saka?
It
is, for Saka, yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So what we can see last season then is his heat map from every match. And yeah, that probably looks like what we expect from Saka. This season, obviously many fewer touches because it's only two matches. But I would say that's a very good attempt at recreating exactly what he did last season. So while that average position on the last one showed Saka further back, maybe almost covering Ben White a bit, this shows that he is at least, you know, we've got quite a few touches almost at right back, but plenty exactly where we'd want him. And so I would not stress at all on Saka right now. Martinelli, Jesus, even Xhaka have got the points. Saka will most likely get involved. Yes, there's a little change in shape, but Saka is still part of that. That is that front five, and he is going to get involved. And the last thing I'll say on this, a bit like Gundogan, if only we had another spot on the funds, I'd almost be tempted by Xhaka. Just because if he is going to get into the box in that Gundogan style, I think it would be jokes. But yeah, I hope that rests a few people's minds on Saka. And it's just an interesting look at how Arsenal might develop. Again, it's 2 weeks, so let's revisit it in some time.
So I've brought up the Arsenal best players table. So we've got a table with their minutes played, because it's nice for the chat to see it. It's basically got Jesus well at the top based on goal involvement. Then it's Martinelli, then Saka. So Martinelli and Saka are actually really, really close based on how much they've created or how much they've done. But if you look at the points, Martinelli's got double the points with 16 instead of 8. Now, Joe, obviously Seb's just gone through that. I love that analysis because it's putting people's minds at rest if they own Saka. But I know people that own Saka and they don't own Martinelli, and it's killing them. You know, it's only been 2 weeks so far. They're paying 2 million extra for Saka. They're not getting the returns like Martinelli is. You know, Martinelli both weeks. If you even look at this week, 4-2, Saka nothing, Martinelli gets the goal. Low XG goal, you would say. You know, it wasn't an easy goal that he scored, but it was a lovely goal, and he seems to be in form now. Two goals in two games. Would you be making that swap? Would you be making that swap? If you had nothing else wrong with your team, Saka to Martinelli, free up 2 million, you can, you know, upgrade your 4.5 million defender to Reece James, for instance. Would you be making that move?
Well, if you have another move to make. So if you don't own Reece James and you want to upgrade a defender to Reece James, you need 2 million, then yes. But if you just want to do it just for the sake of it, just because Martinelli's price is going up and you think Saka's will go down. So if you want to do it for that reason, no. If you want to do it purely on effective ownership, I don't know what their ownership is actually, but no. But if you definitely need that money, then I don't see a problem with that. But I do. What I do think though is what Seb has been explaining with that, looking at Arsenal, is that Saka is not a player you can write off. We've only had two games. Would be interested to see how it develops. But if after 5-6 games, then Saka's the one of the front three that is dropping back more, and Martinelli's the one that's coming forward more. I mean, that may transpire to be the case every match. Then we've got some more knowledge there. But I don't think so. And also, the Arsenal penalty situation is still a bit up in the air, in that I think if you've won it, you can take it.
So that could mean...
I should have mentioned that. Sorry, thank you, Joe. Just to jump in, I think Saka is like designated taker, as it were.
Yeah.
But as you say, we have seen people take it if they win it, and I believe Arteta's quotes was something like, "It's who feels good in the moment."
Yes. So for example, if say Ben White won a penalty, he probably won't take it. I'm fairly certain to say. So then I guess it would be the designated penalty taker. Saka would take it, but if Jesus wins a penalty, we might see a different story. Martinelli, we have seen it. Martinelli wins a penalty, he'll take it. So that could be the case with some of the other players as well. Who knows if Xhaka wins a penalty? I wouldn't put it past him to grab the ball. But yeah, it's a bit up in the air, but Saka's definitely not a player you would write off. And I think, you know, if you've got no other fires to do, or you definitely need that money, I'm not against that move, but I can't believe removing Saka is, I don't know. I mean, I'm doing similar with Mason Mount. So who am I to talk? I'm doing the same. I'm doing a very similar move.
It's
there.
That slot, isn't it? I think it's important to look forwards and not backwards. You know, we have an 8 million midfielder. Mm. We have Jesus. We have a cheaper midfielder in Martinelli, whatever. It's maybe a bit of luck, maybe a bit of skill. If you get on the right ones at first, it can then be very, very tempting to try and fix what should have been your game week one squad rather than looking forward. And I think we need to focus on looking forward, not trying to fix what maybe was a suboptimal game week one choice.
I think, sorry, Andy,
over to you. I interrupted.
If you were wildcarding tomorrow, you'd have Martinelli, not Saka, wouldn't you? 100%.
Yes. Yeah. But I think that's a price. Yeah.
So based on everything Joe's just said, because he answered the question beautifully for me, Seb, if you had another 2 weeks where Martinelli got two attacking returns and Saka was still getting nothing, surely you've got to start looking at that switch.
So obviously with attacking returns, I'd want the underlyings to support it, but let's assume they do.
If they were carrying on like they are, they're both around 0.75 on average.
So I it's a money thing. If they were both 8 million, I'm not stressed. It's a flip of a coin, probably. It's a money thing. Yeah, I want that 2 million. I mean, I've got Diaz and Martinelli versus, say, Saka, and I can't get that equivalent from Liverpool. So it worked better for my team. So yeah, if you need the 2 million, a bit like Robertson, maybe you move them on. But I don't think there's anything to worry about just yet. You know, to throw your question back at you, when Saka scores two at the weekend, he takes a penalty and, you know, scores a tap in, we're all going to go, oh goodness, it must be Saka, he's on penalties. And then Smith Rowe takes Martinelli's spot. You know, it could go that way as well.
Because you can't just free up 2 million in your team, can you? Whereas moving from Saka to Martinelli and freeing up 2 mil, that's the dilemma
I think people shouldn't look at Saka v Martinelli yet after two games. But I think people should look at, do I definitely need that 2 million?
Well, is it even Saka versus Martinelli? Is it Saka versus, like, an Arsenal? Because I've got Gabriel. Is it Saka versus team structure? Because you can have both very easily. And I'd argue that with the value Martinelli gives, we should probably be getting him almost no matter what.
Yeah. It's just more that 2 million. If you've got Saka and you're seeing the guy that's 2 million cheaper getting more points, that I don't think at the moment after 2 weeks, but I do think if you need that 2 million elsewhere and you've got a definite plan for that, then yeah, I would do that move.
Also,
and I say that as someone who's ditching Mason Mount.
I know we've hated talking about it, but team value, Martinelli's already gone up 0.2. He's going to go up again probably tonight. Like, he could be 6.7, 6.8. He shouldn't be 6 million, basically.
I thought this season, we live in a different dimension. Manchester United are good. I thought they were going to be this year's Arsenal, as in, wow, how underpriced they are. They probably priced them quite accurately. But I'm now looking at Arsenal, and Jesus is up to what? 79, 80% ownership?
He's 75, I think.
Yeah. Because he's priced at 8 million. We all got, loads of people got him in because he was so cheap. If he was 9 million, 9.5, 10 million, I'd have thought twice. But he wasn't. He was 8 million. I just immediately saw that and thought, he's in my team.
He was ditched by 400,000 managers before game week two. Well, so.
Oh man!
Well, that's there's all sorts Nunes of things in this world that I can't understand, and that's
picking an unfortunate game with one team, and then there's compounding that by changing the team based on 1 week.
But I think he was sold by 400,000, and I think 350,000 went to Darwin.
Well, we're already seeing. Like, remember when Leicester won the league? Mahrez was 5.5, I think, when he started the game. We look back at that now and thought that was crazy, and because there was just a lack of, no one predicted Leicester would win the league. Yeah. But I think we saw enough from Martinelli to think 6 million, you've underpriced him.
Yeah.
And I think even 6.5 would have been even cheap. 7 million, I wouldn't have raised an eyebrow at 7 million, but I think 6.5 would have been the real split. So we're seeing him go up because he's going up gradually to the price he should be.
What price is Smith Rowe?
Five point nine now.
So I was thinking maybe they expected him to start. Now that's a weird one, isn't it? I think they just have underpriced that position.
Just to finish this section off, though, just to make sure we reiterate, for anybody out there that's thinking about a Saka Martinelli move, if they've got no other issues in their team, Joe, would you do it?
No.
No.
No, because it all relies on that other issue, what you do with the 2 million.
And Seb, would you?
If it's literally that or burning a transfer, take the 2 mil.
I think I would as well. I think I would.
Though? That's the thing. It's got to be for something.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I'm not going to just...
It's for 2 mil.
I'm not going to invest the 2 million in like my house or anything. I just meant like... I'm sure you could use it somewhere.
If only.
I'd upgrade to
if only this game we played actually meant anything.
I did a tweet at the end of last year saying, remember, whatever money you have in the bank... then get to use at the beginning of next year. And I had so many DMs like, is that true? I never knew that. Yeah.
That'd be so great.
Anyway, moving on to the community team. We need a feel-good story here. So community team got 66 points this week, Seb. Talk us through, we each have to come up with a move, don't we? And then we're going to go for the polls. But talk us through the story just very briefly as to what happened this week.
Sure. So I'm trying to remember off the top of the head what we voted for. We voted to the community, voted to roll the transfer, which makes sense. We have zero in the bank, so we have two to spend this week. We voted to Captain Haaland, which obviously was incredibly insightful, considering he outscored Salah by 3. And we also chose to bench Andreas, Greenwood and Nico. Andreas was first. Nico did get 7, unfortunately. We chose to play Bailey, but I think that's fair enough. The team, as it stands, is Ward, Trent, Robertson, James, Cancelo, Salah, Saka, Martinelli, got both of them, Bailey, Jesus, and Haaland captain. So I have as well just gathered, I should say as well, we are 180th in that league. And if this team beats any of us three, we'll give some money to charity and hang our heads in shame or something like that. I did gather as well a few little nominations for transfers, which we can then maybe decide what we want to put to the community for a poll.
Lovely.
So we do have 2 free transfers, of course, to remember. So a suggestion from Roto Tricks is Bailey to Gomez. I assume that's Everton's Gomez, who I think is 0.4 maybe now, and roll. We have a suggestion from Dino Pool, which is with the 2 free transfers, Robertson to Patterson and Bailey to Diaz or Madison.
We've got a Notts Forest klaxon. One of us has said Notts Forest, not Nottingham Forest.
Did I?
Ed Hoskins has said this. We have to get a siren. I just have to say, because they get very offended by
Did I?
I don't know. You might have accidentally said it.
I'm just going to assume it was me. It's always me. Yeah. Probabilistically, it was probably
We'll get letters.
I'm trying.
So I just ran these off then. So we have a suggestion for Bailey for Jensen as well. And maybe something to look at for the 4.0 keepers from, I want to say that's F. Rhetoric, something like that. FR Edric. And then final one from Ian says Bailey to 4.5 bench fodder, which is obviously what me and Andy have done here. We have missed that price rise. And then the last suggestion from FBL Auto, I see you, is Jesus for Darwin and put him on the bench. Now, if anyone doesn't know, FBL Auto's in the analytics Hiveman team. So I think they're trying to sabotage us. They are currently ahead of us by 30 odd points. So we've got some work to do, team.
Lovely stuff.
So what do we fancy out of all of that? I've stuck them in the notes as well if you want to have a look at those suggestions.
Okay. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, it's tough actually, isn't it? I mean, I think we've got to get rid of Bailey personally. So I think my suggestion would be Bailey to Joe's favourite person ever, KDH.
Yes.
There you go. That's my good one.
Yeah, I would say something like that. I think it's a strange team in that because it's got Jesus, Saka, and I'm looking at the right one, Saka, Martinelli, and Jesus. Yep. So there's a lot of money in Arsenal, but justifiably a lot of money in Arsenal. So there's no, you don't want to really remove any of them. So there's no, you're looking for sort of a cash cow, and it's quite a very cheap bench as well, and you're really cheap on the goalkeepers. So I look at, Bailey's the only one I would remove, the only weak link, really. I would move him down because KDH has got a great fixture this week. Yeah. So
there's a suggestion in the chat to do Bailey to Gross. We can't afford that, I don't think, unfortunately. But could we maybe find some money to do that? Not sure where from.
Saka to Gundogan.
Well, that's it. You have to move Saka, but I don't know if I would. If you definitely needed, if you didn't have Martinelli, we're going back to the same point again, and you wanted 2 million, then yes. Yeah. But I look at that team. This is exactly the kind of team, if you've got Saka, where you possibly wouldn't, you would look, as you were saying, it's the weak link, Bailey. Would you play Andreas instead of Bailey anyway?
I might start Nico next week.
Yeah, Neco, I was going to say Nico Williams would be good.
Yeah, Neco Williams. So you've got you've got lots of choice there. So Bailey, you could just be
In that case, my suggestion, just to throw that in there, then would be Bailey down to a 4.5. We've missed a silver. Play Nico. Roll the other transfer, have a bit of money in the bank, and sort the team again next week with a slightly better position.
Yeah. So there's three choices then. Can you just tell me again, Seb, was it 180th in the league?
180th in the Scoutcast Community League, I believe. And overall rank, I can give you that as well if you give me one moment. The team is currently 951,000. So, Joe, at the moment, you are giving over £400,000 to charity.
Okay.
I'm beating it. I think I'm 80th in the league.
There's lots of talk in the chat as well about Robertson to Cucurella as being an option. So that is definitely something that
I'll pick out the ones that have got. I'll put ours and I'll pick out the ones that have got shouts here and on Twitter and put them in a poll.
And yes, we did have a question as well in the live chat. Who is KDH? Is Kieran Dewsbury Hall, who is a stately home and a player.
The poshest player that we could possibly suggest.
And was that slightly German as well there, Andy?
You don't get a lot of posh people in Somerset. Right, anyway, let's have a look at our bus teams now. So here we go, big reveal. Yes, I have done my two transfers. I did my two transfers on Saturday night. I took out Neco for Saliba, and I took out Bailey for Da Silva as well. So I'm now going to be playing five at the back for the foreseeable future, at least for the next 3 weeks, because I love Arsenal's fixtures. I think they've got some clean sheets coming up there. So I've got Ward in goal. I've got Trent, Cancelo, James, Saliba and Robertson at the back. Then I've got Salah, Martinelli, Kulusevski, and I've got Haaland and Jesus up top. Salah's going to be my captain. I think for me, personally, it's only between Salah and Jesus for captaincy. I don't fancy City that much against Newcastle away from home because I just see it not being a very high-scoring game. I see it in Newcastle kind of stifling them, especially at St. James's Park. They're very good defensively. So, I feel quite good about this team, personally. I feel like, ideally, I want to roll next week if I can. Hopefully nothing really comes up. Kulusevski I love now still owning for the next 3 weeks because their fixtures are beautiful. I'm to be honest, I'm really happy with it. Nunes was the biggest one for me. If Nunes was going to start becoming interesting, I was going to try and work things around and try and get him in. But now I think I'm quite happy with that.
Kulusevski looks really nice now, doesn't he? Like,
I've just got to go back to the point how you've used two transfers and you still have Ward Everson. That surely should have been a priority.
They're not the players that, like, when I'm looking at like a 4.5, because I could only really upgrade him to
a 4.5. But De Silva is, you might as well, you know, he's
but
nothing.
But Silva's on the bench. He freed it up so I could upgrade
and,
to
and,
Saliba.
And you know, well, you've got Saliba and De Silva, so you effectively just got loads of saliva in your team.
By the way, Let's Talk has just entered the chat and he says, at all costs, bring Cucurella in.
He said he's saying that. There. Also, we also had Colm in the chat saying up the Crewkerne Massive because of your mention of Somerset earlier. Went through Crewkerne at the weekend to go down to Charmouth, and this is real local stuff. It's got a surprisingly confusing one-way system, Crewkerne, for a very small town.
It does, yeah. anyway, that was a sidetrack. But yeah, I feel good about my team. I feel really good about it. Seb, moving on to your best team. So you've got Sanchez in goal. You've got Trent, Cancelo, Walker, James, Gabriel. So you've got pretty much, I say the same, actually. You've got a little bit of a difference because you've got the double City there.
Robertson, you've got Walker, and then different Arsenal, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, Salah, Diaz and Martinelli and Haaland and Jesus up top. And obviously, you've got De Silva as well. You've still got one free transfer to use. You've got 1 million in the bank and you are on Salah captain as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy just to chill here. Maybe I start Ward, maybe I don't. I think Brighton's defence is better, but Ward's fixture is better. So I'll see how that comes out at the end of the week. And then captaincy. Again, one just to sit on in the week. See what various models say, see what conversation is, see how I feel. But I think there's another little close one there. Haaland, Salah or Jesus probably. But I'm very content. It's nothing special. It's a team lots of people have got. But I like having 1 million and another two free transfers to maybe start moving in a direction I want to go if that works in a couple of weeks.
I think you're in a very, very strong position, Seb. Very envious.
And see how I can mess it up.
Yeah, I know. And Joe, so your team. So you are two free transfers still to use. Yeah. You're the most patient out of all of us. You've got 0.5 million in the bank.
So what I've done is I've put out the team that I'm actually okay with if the worst was to happen and a bus was to interact with me in a nasty way. But I've also put in the two players that I'm looking to remove, which is Mount and Patterson. So I'm going into the game with 5-3-2. And I think that's going to be my, I've been 4-4-2 kind of guy, very flexible. So I'm now going to move to a 5-3-2. So I've got currently Ward in goal there, but he's going to be Sanchez, I think. But that might come down to the wire. Sanchez and Brighton, I just prefer at the moment. But, you know, it's Ward against Southampton. I don't know. I think I marginally prefer Sanchez at this moment. I've got Cancelo, Gabriel against Bournemouth, Alexander-Arnold and Robertson against Manchester United. And currently Patterson, but Patterson will be Reece James. That's what's going to happen there. So just ignore Patterson. That's Reece James. I've got Mason Mount, who is going to be Pascal Gross for so many reasons. One, I'm a Brighton fan. Two, he's Brighton's best player at the moment. Three, I think he's outstanding value. He's involved. Four, and all that we've been through this before, though. Fixtures, form, everything. He's got everything going for him. He's got the lot. You know, girls want to be with him, men want to be him. He's just the guy. He's got everything.
He's on a tangent again, Seb.
And I've got Salah as a captaincy, Martinelli and his incredible price rises against Bournemouth. Haaland and not Haaland at up top with Jesus. He's my vice captain and is between Jesus and Salah for me. In terms of more of my thoughts about captaincy on the captaincy video with Tom, we give our top three picks as well there. So it's a good plug to have a look at that. And we have lots of stats there. We've got attacking player stats there as well that has got Haaland, Jesus, De Bruyne, Salah, Son and Kane, who I think are all great options. We usually do a player comparison thing of two or three people. I think there's six very viable options. And I haven't even mentioned James Maddison, who I think is also a good captaincy shout this week. Lots and lots of choice there. And this could be a week if two or three of them absolutely go off and two or three of them don't. That could be some big swings this week. If they all blank, obviously not so much. And if they all do well, happy days. But I think there could be some swings there. So yes, for me, Mount,
lovely stuff.
Patterson out, Gross and Reece James in.
Just to say as well, a couple of people asking about the Scoutcast Community League. Hilariously, I asked Andy for it, and then Andy was like, Seb will do it. So one of us will work it out. I think Joe set it up. So we will comment it on this video, put it in the description, something like that.
Either
me or Andy's, someone will put it in the description. Awesome. I think Andy's got some more bits and bobs to do after the show, maybe. And yeah, I've got some more bits and bobs to do as well.
Seb just goes to sleep. Terrible.
It's the bits and bobs bit.
Yeah. Moving on to my favourite section of the night, and this is the question section. This is the convince the teacher section. So we got Andy Robertson there with his hand up because he's already got a question. Chuck your questions in the chat and I will score the guys based on how well they answer your questions and how much they convince me that their answer is the correct one. Now remember, they can have the same answer. That's absolutely fine. But if Seb convinces me more than Joe, Seb gets the point. If Joe convinces me better than Seb, then Joe gets the point. Joe is currently 2-0 up. Seb actually skipped a question last week, so he is definitely on a loose lead? Short thread? What am I looking for? He's basically going to be watched quite closely this week.
You've got Seb on a loose short thread.
Well, not loose leash. What's it called?
Don't know.
I'll tell it what it's called now.
Naughty step.
Short leash. Short leash. That's it, isn't it? Anyway, right, here we go.
I just want to interrupt here. We've had another klaxon here of someone not listening to me. FPL Spartans, buying Gross for Mount is a bit like a casual player. Did he not hear? He is an enabler for me getting Reece James in, who I think is a vital player. Do listen. Anyway, carry on.
Don't know.
That's my turn to be a teacher.
That's you've told then, I guess.
Yeah. FPL Spartans. Do have a listen, mate.
Right, Daniel Robert, the man with two first names, says, question, is Vardy a worthy captain this week? Seb, because you're 2-0 down at the moment, I'm going to start with you.
Who does he even play? Let me have a look.
Oh, God.
Is he a worthy captain this week? Southampton. I mean, I guess we've got that 9-0 and whatnot in our minds. the thing that happens with that, Southampton, I don't think they're as good this year as they've been in the past, but they're very hot and cold. We know at the moment they're not brilliant, but they can be. I think you're taking a bit of a risk there unnecessarily. The fact that not many people have Vardy in their team probably tells you enough. Sure, you're going for the EO thing, but as I said earlier, I don't think this is the time of season to do that. I think we have some good captains in Salah, Jesus, maybe even Haaland. There isn't the need to look for someone different like Vardy just yet. So I would say, no, don't do that.
Interesting. Joe?
If you own Vardy, there's a reason you own Vardy, and that's because one of them is playing Southampton. So he's got to be a captaincy consideration there. But I haven't seen him in too many teams. I've seen him in Sky teams, but I haven't seen him in many FPL teams. So I think there's better options. I've named six of them already, and we've got those on the captaincy video to have a look at. I think Maddison is the best option because he is looking more threatening. And I think if you're desperate to captain a Leicester player against Southampton, you're still looking at those 9-0s. They're not going to beat Southampton 9-0 every day. I think Maddison would be the one. I think Maddison is a genuine captaincy contender this week, but I'm not sure Jamie Vardy is.
Okay. Stephen Harker says, who is the best Rashford replacement? He already has Martinelli. So Rashford's already gone down to 6.4. Joe, who would you get in for him?
First of all, I wouldn't look to say, right, Rashford, whatever he is, Rashford's 6.4.
6.4 now, I believe, yeah.
Right. I wouldn't look at that and think, oh, I definitely need to get a 6 million player in. Or if you've got... I would look to that as an opportunity to either free up some money or... if you have got two free transfers to upgrade him to, I don't know, a James Maddison even, you could go down to, we've mentioned him before, someone like Pascal Gross, I think is a really good option. He's 5.6 and he would be the one I would go for if you want to go less. But I would look to do that. Or if you've got two free transfers and you've got money to move elsewhere, I would bump him up to Gundogan at 7.5. Could be a good option.
Your solution is find 1.1 million extra to put
if he's got just, well I'm just, assuming just. That he hasn't made that Kane Haaland blunder that some people did last week and he's got two free transfers, in which case he might have something else to do. But it depends on your team, doesn't it? Everyone's going to be different.
It's fine, that's your answer. Seb, on you.
So obviously without knowing team, there's a couple of directions it could go. I would say, largely in agreement with Joe, it's probably a move to facilitate something else. You already have Martinelli, which is the obvious one. The fact that you have Martinelli and Rashford suggests that you either don't have a Jesus or maybe a little light in defence to be able to afford those slightly more expensive middle price midfielders, as it were. So I would say if you have two free transfers, there's an opportunity there to do Rashford down to whatever you need to, say, get a James or a Trent, if for some reason you don't have him, something like that. Double City, we know I'm a fan of. If you only have one free transfer, but your team can handle it, maybe you have, say, a Nico and I don't know, De Silva and Andreas in midfield because you've spent that money elsewhere. You could maybe even still do the same thing, but just over the course of a couple of weeks. So my answer would be move down to facilitate elsewhere.
Patrick Gabitas says, who scores more in the next 3 weeks, Son, Salah or Sterling? Seb, we're going to go to you first.
Salah, because in any 3 week sample, I would say, all else being even, Salah has the highest expected returns of those players. I have not checked fixtures, so I'm very happy to be wrong on this one because it might be Son based on that. But I think, you know, unless Salah's playing City, which I don't think he is, it's after game week 6 or 7, that one. Mm-hmm. I think Salah usually is the best option. If we believe that he's a better option with a false nine as opposed to a Darwin Nunez, well, we know for the next 3 weeks that's going to happen. If Firmino's out, he might even play up front. So I will say Salah. But also, to be fair, Singer's not won one of these yet. If you give me the point, I'll buy you a beer.
Joe?
Well, I would say the next three game weeks, as has been pointed out, there's no Nunez. But Liverpool's fixtures and Manchester United, I think Salah will get a very healthy return there. He has historically. He then has a home game against Bournemouth, a home game against Newcastle. I fully anticipate him playing there, and he'll be big captaincy shout. So he'll obviously get more points because people will get double points from him. But I think they're three really... You've picked a run where I would think that would be Salah's best run, arguably, two nice home games and playing Manchester United. Tottenham, however, have got Wolves, which I still think they'll get a return, but I'm not sure it's going to be huge return. Then they've got Nottingham Forest away, which will be interesting. I think there could be some returns for Sun then. And then you've got West Ham as well. I don't know. I haven't quite assessed West Ham yet. So there's lots of unknowns there with Son and Kane. I think they'll get returns. But I think the next three, that's Salah time.
Yeah, interesting. Stephen W. says, are you not tempted by the upside of Perisic in the next 4 weeks, Joe?
Yes, I am. But will he play? And I think Seb said it earlier. I could see yourself going the whole season without a Spurs defender because we don't know which one's going to play. I know in the good fixtures against Nottingham Forest away, against Fulham at home, that those wing-backs are going to get returns. But will it be Doherty? Will it be Sessegnon? Will it be Perisic? I don't know which one's going to play. And once Europe starts kicking in, which ones are going to get the priority in the league? Which ones are going to get priority in Europe? But is Perisic a great player? Will he be on all corners? Will he frighten the living daylights out of you if you don't own him? Yes. But will he play?
I'm not sure I can give you a point for saying Willie so many times in a stream. Seb, what about you?
Well, seeing as Joe stole my answer earlier, then I'd like to reiterate that I agree with what Joe said, but also add the whole, when in pre-season, when I was looking at having Spurs players and I went Haaland over Kane and didn't have any of their defenders, although you'll probably remember I was pretty high on Doherty for a bit. I think the main temptation is you look at Spurs fixtures and you go, I want exposure to those fixtures. Mm. But if you've got Haaland over Kane, Haaland to Kane is a transfer some people might make this week. If you've got Salah over Son, you're going to start looking at the defence. And I think the same thing applies for the Haaland and the Salah. With the expected minutes of those four viable Spurs wingbacks, I think I'm just happier with a Trent, Cancelo, James, even my Arsenal defender in the next two because they've got great fixtures.
Well, actually, that's moving on to the next question, actually, from Bernardo, which is, who is the best Arsenal defender to get? If money wasn't an option, who would you be getting, Seb?
I guess Ramsdale, but he's a goalkeeper. So defender, I went Gabriel for the nailedness of the expected minutes. Saliba, obviously a little bit cheaper, is looking very good. We'll see what happens when, obviously, Tomiyasu returns and if Ben White moves inside. But I could see them sticking with that back four. We looked at their shape earlier. It obviously works. They've been playing very well. So I'd be tempted to go Gabriel just because the set-piece threat on top of, I think he is probably still the most nailed centre-back out of the options.
And Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Gabriel and I would stick with him currently until we know more because, and I would say it's because of the bonus potential as well. So I think he got, so he got one or two in the first game. And I've seen from times I've owned him before, he's good for bonus. So if you're going to get an Arsenal clean sheet, you're going to look for that extra returns from bonus. Ramsdale can get it, but he can also not get it. And I've had Ramsdale before on my side and he's just been a sort of 6-point guy, of which you can get from the likes of Raya and Sanchez at 4.5. Saliba is interesting because he's 4.5. It just frees up that extra bit of money. I prefer him currently to Ben White. I think out of that lot, Ben White doesn't. But I think the pick could be Zinchenko, but we don't have enough. I want to see him start almost every game because I think in terms of attacking returns, I think he could be the one because we're yet to get any of that goal threat from Gabriel that we've seen. But it's just been two games. But yeah. I would say Zinchenko, possibly. Currently, though, Gabriel.
Okay. And last question from Michael Scott, who's taken a couple of minutes out of the office to come and join us. It says, Cucurella or Walker, Joe? I like this one.
Oh, Cucurella. Especially after the comments from the Chelsea manager this week that he is pretty much the first choice currently over Chilwell. We've already seen he's taken five corners. So I think you're going to, and I know that he's good for bonus at Brighton, and I think that could carry on at Chelsea. So I think Walker is great, and I think he's good for 6 points. But I think Cucurella could be your man to get your 8 or 9 points.
And Seb?
I think I'd want to know that Cucurella was going to get those minutes beyond just Tuchel saying it, because we've seen managers say stuff before and then not play that player. What was it? Gerrard praised Leon Bailey and then benched him, which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
So I would be tempted for Walker at first, but say you had neither. Yeah, maybe you'd try and get ahead of Cucurella. But I think the important thing to reiterate here is that I will buy you a beer, Andy.
Well, after seven questions, the winner is Seb. Wins his first one. 5-2. Yes. I got that as actually. Well,
I didn't even need to do the beers. I take them back.
On it.
What?
No, I win. I get the bit. boys, well done. That was good. You're getting better at convincing. We definitely need a time limit though. We definitely need
a time limit. That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I think so. I think we need to have. I'm going to ask Az whether we can have a little timer in the corner or something. That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it? Right. So we have reached the end. Thank you so much to everybody that's been in the chat with us tonight, including Focal and Colm and Let's Talk and all those people as well, and everybody that's normally with us.
We actually
peaked at 1,400 tonight, which is absolutely amazing. So
well, we peaked forever, make sure, or just tonight.
That's the peak. So please make sure you like it.
Since it was Granville, Mark and you, Joe.
So please make sure you like and subscribe as well, because we're going to be here every week. We're here again next week, obviously, for game week 4. We do hope your game week 3 is good. Joe, I hope you enjoyed your evening.
I did. It was great.
Yeah. And Seb, I hope you enjoyed your evening too.
Yeah, after the horrible start, I think it really picked up. So thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Good. No problem. And for everybody, thank you again for watching. We will see you all next week. And I hope your game week 3 is as beautiful as the guests I had on the show tonight. There you go. Look, humble, gorgeous and beautiful. Bye-bye. And we'll see you next week.